Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Secretary Congregation of South the 12th Hour in the Elgin, Texas. Today is the Day of Atonement, September the 12th, 2024, or it is the 10th day of Tishrei, 28, a Day of Atonement. This will be our second service for today. Where can I go but to the Yahweh?
Let him be Lord in this old sinful world. Hardly a prophet can afford. Striving alone to face temptation sore. Where can I go but to the Yah? Where can I go? Oh, where can I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. Needing a friend to help me in the end. Where can I go but to the Yah? Neighbors are kind, I love them everyone. May we get along and see our good. But when my soul is manna from above, where can I go but to the Yah? Where can I go? Oh, where can I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. Need a friend to help me in the end. Where can I go but to the Yah? Life is grand with things I love so dear. Comfort I get from your sovereign. Yet when I face the chilling hand of death, where can I go but to the Yah? Where can I go? Where can I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. Needing a friend to help me in the end. Where can I go but to the Yah?
We'll continue on here and it's Shepherd Rod, book number 4. We're going to continue on. This is going to be actually part 2 of the Shepherd Rod Israel about who is Israel by the promise. This is the name of our sermon. Who is Israel by the promise? Part 2. And we're on the Shepherd Rod book, page 66, at the top of the page. Israel journeyed to the Red Sea. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the waters were divided. Israel went into the sea and walked across over dry ground. The Egyptians pursued after them into the midst of the sea. And Moses stretched his hand over the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots, horsemen, and all the host of the Pharaoh which came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. Israel came into the wilderness, where they are wandered about for 40 years. Thousands of them perished because of the unbelief at the end of the wilderness journey. The people crossed the Jordan during the time Israel was away from the Canaan. The land was thickly inhabited by the heathen nations. Israel was compelled to destroy them by the sword in order to possess the land. Think of the loss of life, grief, and suffering, all because Yahweh took Israel into Egypt and brought them back again. Yahweh certainly would not destroy his subjects just to show his power. 1 Corinthians 10:11-12, speaking of the experience of the children of Israel, we read, "Now all these things happen unto them for the ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." If we are the people upon whom the end of the world is about to come, then their ensamples are written for our admonition. This is the season, or this is the reason why the Yahweh led the children of Israel into Egypt and back again. Think how great the price to work out the picture, the lessons to be derived from these great examples are far greater than we have ever realized. Many thousands lost their lives to produce the picture, with the intention that many more thousands would be saved than those who perished. Let us therefore carefully study into the lessons that were intended for our learning and admonition. For the Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine, and fat flesh, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean flesh. Okay, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river, and the ill-favored and lean flesh kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke, and it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that should interpret them unto Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it." And Pharaoh told the dream to Joseph. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, "Yahweh has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. The 7 good kine for 7 years, and the seven a thin and ill-favored kind that come up after them are 7 years. Behold, there come 7 years of the great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, and there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of the famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And in the seven plenteous years the earth brought forth by the handful, and he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the city, the food of the field, which was round about every city, laid he up in the same, and Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much, until he left number, for it was without number. Genesis 41:1-49. We shall endeavor to bring enough evidence in this study to show that Israel's experience in Egypt is a photograph of Israel, the true, the 144,000, and the Seventh-day Adventist Church. While the Exodus movement was a great movement, the Second Advent movement will be still greater. Yahweh will take out a people, not from one nation only, but from every nation under heaven, and he will lead them into the heavenly Canaan. This Advent movement, of which the Exodus movement was a type, we believe was foretold in prophecy in the following stirring language. It shall come to pass in that day that the Yeshua shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left. There shall be a highway for the remnant of his people, like as it was unto Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. Review and Herald, October 10, 1929, pages 4 and 5. The Exodus movement is in a way a type, photograph, of the closing work of the Yahweh under the Advent movement. Each movement rises in the fulfillment of the time prophecy. Certainties of the Advent Movement by W.A. Spicer. The fact that Israel after the flesh is a type or a photograph that their experience must be duplicated by the true, otherwise there can be no type. So it says, year of plenty and famine. Now, this is, we're coming up to the antitype of this year of plenty and famine. Yahweh permitted the plenty as well as the famine. Each one bears the number 7, meaning perfect or complete. These two sections of time can only mean one thing. That is none other than this world and history, and two great divisions, namely B.C. and A.D., with the cross as a dividing line. The 7 years of the plenty represents the Old Testament period, in which time Yahweh gave plenty, for by his holy prophets he stored it in the great storehouse, what we today call the Bible. In Matthew 11:13 we read, for all the prophets and the law have prophesied and her child. It is for this reason that Yeshua made the above statement, for we have no other thus far. In the 7 years of the plenty B.C., Yahweh stored his word in the Bible to feed the world, Egypt. In the next 7 years of the famine, A.D., Yahweh, who has sundry times and in divers manner, spake in times past, and who the fathers by the prophets hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Hebrews 1:1-2. The New Testament is a fulfillment of the Old. Joseph, type of the Yeshua. Joseph typified the Yeshua. See Patriarchs and Prophets, pages 239, 240. Our Yahweh, in the Old Testament time, 7 years of plenty, spoke unto his people in a divers manner by his prophets and commanded these things to be written with the intention to speak unto his people in these last days. New Testament time. For 7 years of famine unto each one of us individually by the voice of his word is found stored in the Bible. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto the Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon his Joseph's hand and arrayed him in the vestures of the fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am the Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Genesis 41:40-44. No greater favor or honor could Pharaoh have shown unto Joseph, and all the Egyptians bowed down to him. As we proceed in this study, we shall prove beyond a doubt that Joseph is a perfect type of the Yeshua. Pharaoh type of, and it says hyphen. This is our next subtitle. Okay. So I'm going to reread that subtitle. Pharaoh as a type of the Yahweh the Father. Joseph was a type of the Yeshua the Son. So Pharaoh, the good Pharaoh that favored Joseph, was a type of the Father, Yahweh. For if Joseph typified Yahshua and Pharaoh honored Joseph above any man ever honored by any king, and Joseph and Pharaoh worked hand in hand, then Pharaoh must stand for some figure or type. For it would not be hard to determine what the Pharaoh represents that which honors Yahshua above everything that can be honored upon the earth. This is what Pharaoh represents. The church of the apostles honored Yahshua above everything that can be honored, so much so that all sacrificed their lives. No greater homage has Yahshua received upon the earth by any other part in the history of his church. By this we understand that the Pharaoh represents the apostle, church, or organization. The application made here will prove correct as we advance in this study. Further explanation upon this subject is given on the last page of this section. Okay, it says, the beginning of the famine. For the dividing line between the 7 years of the plenty and 7 years of the famine is the cross. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. Matthew 11:13. Where the 7 years of the plenty end, the 7 years of famine begin. The first year of the famine is the beginning of the church of Yahshua at the time of the apostle. One may ask, why a famine in the beginning of the apostolic church of the 12 apostles? Didn't they not get sufficient corn? And that was present truth. Yes, but they got it from the great storehouse of the Bible, in the same way as the Egyptians received their corn in the years of the famine, from the immense storehouse at the hand of the Joseph. See pages 15 to 18. Egyptians type of the Gentiles. For the 7 years of the famine began when the Egyptians came unto Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh told all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph, what he saith to you do. And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians. Genesis 41:55-56. And Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan for the corn which they bought. And Joseph brought the money into the Pharaoh's house. And when money failed in the land of Egypt and in the land of the Canaan, all the Egyptians came unto Joseph and said, give us bread. For why should we die in thy presence? For the money faileth. And they brought their cattle unto Joseph. And Joseph gave them bread in exchange for horses, and for the flocks, and for the cattle of the herds, and for the asses. And he fed them with the bread for all their cattle for that year. When that year was ended, they came unto him the second year and said unto him, we will not hide it from the Lord how that our money is spent. My Lord also hath our herds of cattle. There is not aught left in the sight of my Lord but our bodies and our lands. Wherefore shall we die before thine eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for bread, and we and our land will be servants unto Pharaoh. And Joseph bought all the land of Egypt. Who is Israel by the promise? For Pharaoh, for the Egyptians sold every man his field. And they said, Thou hast saved our lives. Let us find grace in the sight of my Master, and we will be Pharaoh's servant. Genesis 47:14-25. In the beginning of the famine, the Egyptians went unto Pharaoh for corn instead of to Joseph. They were well acquainted with Joseph, for he had been a governor of Egypt for 8 years or more. Joseph ruled over all the land of Egypt, and every Egyptian bowed down unto him. During the years of the plenty, it was Joseph who bought the corn from the Egyptians. And it seems strange that they should go to Pharaoh. It must have been by the divine providence that they came unto him. It has been explained that Pharaoh represents the church organization or leadership, for the Egyptians cannot represent anything else but the Gentiles in the days of the apostles. For the Gentiles came to the church, Pharaoh, where they were told to go to Joseph, Yeshua. What he saith unto you, do, that is, the church in her purity, without one strange thing in their midst, directed the Gentiles unto Yeshua as their life-giver, as the Pharaoh directed the Egyptians unto Joseph. The Egyptians sold themselves unto Pharaoh, and Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh, for the Egyptians sold every man his field, because a famine prevailed over them. So the land became Pharaoh's, Genesis 47:20. In the preceding verses of the chapter, we read the Egyptians spent all their money for corn, and when the money was gone, they gave the cattle in exchange, and when the cattle were gone, they gave the land, and when the land was gone, they sold themselves and became servants under Pharaoh. This is a type, but of the fulfillment of this type, we read in the following text, and the multitude of them that believed were of the one heart and of the one soul. Neither said any of them that all of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common, and with the great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Yeshua, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of the lands or houses had sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And Joseph, J-O-S-C-S, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, a Levite, having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet, Acts 4:32-37. Thus Jew and Gentile sold all houses and lands, and brought the prices, and laid them at the apostles' feet, and became servants unto the church, Pharaoh. Again we read Acts 5:1-10. But a certain man named Ananias, with the Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Spirit, and to keep back part of the price of the land? And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. Thus any who pretended to sell and held back part of the price received in the days of the apostles, died just as those who would not sell, all to Pharaoh in Egypt. Yahshua said, "Sell all and follow me." Therefore, type meant antitype. Joseph removes people throughout Egypt, and Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh. And as for the people, he removed them to cities, from one end of the borders of Egypt even to the other end thereof, Genesis 47, part of verses 20-21. This is the type. Following is the fulfillment of the type, Acts 8:1. And Saul was consenting unto his Stephen's death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. It will be noticed that the apostles were at home, Jerusalem, and there is no record where the apostles sold their land. Now we quote the type of the latter. Genesis 47:22. Only the land of the priest bought he not, for the priest had a portion assigned them of the Pharaoh, and did eat their portion which the Pharaoh gave them. Wherefore they sold not their land. It is remarkable to note how this coincides to the smallest detail. 70 souls, type of organization. This is our next subtitle. Israel arrived in Egypt in the second year of the famine. Genesis 45:10-11. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast, and there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of the famine. Lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. For the arrival of Israel in Egypt stands for some symbol in which there must be a lesson. Note that this lesson cannot be for the early part of the apostolic church, for Israel came in the second year of the famine. For the lesson, then, intended here is for a latter period in the history of the church. If we are to know the truth of the incident and the lesson intended to be derived from it, reference must here be made to the number of the souls which entered into Egypt, and the sons of Joseph, which were born him in Egypt, were 2 souls. All the souls of the house of Jacob, which came into Egypt, were 60 and 10. Genesis 46:27. For the Bible says all the souls who came into Egypt were 70 in number. If we can in some way find the meaning of the number, then we shall understand the lesson. When Moses with the children of Israel came unto Sinai, he organized the church there, and in the organizing selected 70 elders. This same organization years later crossed the Jordan and went into the Promised Land. There they had the Sanhedrin, which was composed of 70 men. Thus the number 70 is a symbol of the church organization. For the meaning then is that there will be a church organization sometime in the history of A.D. If this is true, then that church which Yahshua with the apostles organized must disband and of necessity be reorganized. This is true, for the apostolic church was disorganized in the Dark Ages during the time of the beginning of the papal rule, when again organized, it would partially fulfill Joel 2:32. And in the remnant, whom the Yahshua shall call, the 2300 days or years of the Daniel's prophecy, in the 8th chapter, gives us the entire truth of the church's history to 1844, until which time there was no call for the reorganization. If there had been, or if this call for the reorganization had met its fulfillment before 1844, then Daniel's prophecy would have made mention of it. As the prophecy is silent, and there has no prophet of Yahweh risen since the church fell into papal power about A.D. 538 to 1844, then the truth of the symbol was yet in the future. As the prophetic period ended in 1844, the most holy place in the heavenly sanctuary was open, into which Yahshua entered. If this incident marks the beginning of the atonement, there it is right there, beginning of the atonement, there would have been no better or more opportune time for a call from heaven than at the end of the great prophetic period, the day of the atonement being, of the atonement being, the most solemn time for the church. Here it is, most solemn time for the church. Seventh-day Adventists were called out by a prophet and are practically the only people who believe in the 2300 days. We are the only people who have proclaimed it since 1844 and are now in the atonement of the time of the judgment. Okay, there's that atonement again. And today is the day of the atonement. The text for this is here quoted. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of the heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and unto every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear Yahweh and give glory unto him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made the heaven and earth, and the sea, and the fountains of waters, Revelation 14, 6 and 7. Seventh-day Adventists only can fulfill the type. For just at this time, they were called by a prophet of the Yahweh to organize as a denomination and to proclaim the glad news, the gospel in all the world and this generation. Thus the symbol 70 met its fulfillment at that time. Well, isn't this amazing? That in 1970, we had Brother W. Johnson called as a prophet to sit upon the throne of Israel and to proclaim the hour of his judgment has come. Brother Johnson preached that. He said 1970 met its fulfillment at that time. Still another thought on the experience of Israel. When Joseph's brethren came into Egypt, they went directly to him for corn. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. Genesis 42:6. The sons of Jacob were strangers in the land and knew not their brother, who was a governor. They providentially came not to Pharaoh, as the Egyptians did, for corn, but directly unto the right person, Joseph. In contrast to this, the Egyptians, who should have known better, being acquainted with the rule of their country, went to Pharaoh for corn, but their king told them to go to Joseph. What he saith unto you, do. The Egyptians must have known Joseph, being their governor for more than 8 years by that time. In the 7 years of the plenty, it was Joseph unto whom they sold the food which he preserved for the time of the famine. Joseph rode in the Pharaoh's chariot over all the land of Egypt, and all the Egyptians bowed down unto him. Thus it would have been impossible for them to be ignorant of him. This being a symbol, it can only find its fulfillment in the following narrative. For the Egyptians, Gentiles went under Pharaoh. Leadership of the apostolic church for corn. For the apostles directed the Gentiles, converts, to Yahshua as the Pharaoh directed the Egyptians to Joseph, saying, go to Joseph, what he saith unto you, do. If this is the meaning we get from the Egyptians going to Pharaoh, then the significance of the sons of Joseph going directly to Joseph means that when that church is reorganized, the people would have to go directly to Yahshua or to Joseph. And where are we at today? Yahshua coming and taking charge of his kingdom, the tribe of Judah, the house of David, here in the 12th parabolic hour. This is where this meets its fulfillment. For the lesson intended is that in the beginning of the church in 1845, which had no true leadership, Pharaoh, to go to, they of necessity went directly to Yahshua as the sons of Jacob came to Joseph. The Seventh-day Adventist Church, which came into existence in 1845, became Israel, the movement from which the true Israel, the 144,000, are made. It will be noted that the names of the fathers after the flesh and by the promise coincide. The father's name of Israel after the flesh was Joseph. So is the name of the father of Israel by promise, Seventh-day Adventist. But one may say, it was Jacob in the former and James White in the latter. True it is, but the names Jacob and James are the same. Again, the very first vision Sister White had was about the 144,000, and the aim of this denomination has been to make that number. And it's impossible for the Seventh-day Adventists to make that number. They've made several million, but the thing is, that number comes forth, 144,000 shows up in the 12th parabolic hour, and the Adventists only worked in the 10th and the 11th parabolic hour. And they had the fourth movement. The 144,000 comes forth in the fifth movement of Matthew 20, verse 6, by the fifth group of laborers That's the, they call it the 11th hour. That's the 144,000. To work in the 12th hour. To be harvested in the 12th hour. Okay, the land of Goshen. The beginning of this denomination was typified by Israel's entrance into Egypt, as previously explained. We shall now consider the truth of the land of Goshen. Joseph brought Israel into Egypt and gave them the part of the land to dwell in, which was the best land in the country of Egypt. And there Joseph nourished them, their flocks, herds, and cattle, and all they had. See Genesis 45:10. For the land of Goshen stand as a symbol of the United States of America, in which the church came into existence. While our country is productive, like the land of Goshen, the richest in the world and a prosperous nation, it is the best for the missionary work, for it is made up of all nations, and therefore, like the land of Goshen, the most productive in Egypt, the world. Okay. Joseph nourished Israel. In the beginning of the 7 years of the famine, the Egyptians sold all and became servants under Pharaoh, which has reference unto the apostles' church and of the Gentiles, then who sold their houses and lands and all and had all things in common, as previously explained. But Israel did not sell any of their possessions, nor did they pay for the food with the Joseph, which Joseph nourished them. Israel then represents the church now. In the beginning of the church in 1845, Yeshua and typical Joseph opened the storehouse, gave us all the truth, corn, we could possibly assimilate. Is it not a fact that no other people at any time in the history of the church have received as much truth as Yahweh has given us in our time? Line upon line, precept upon precept, instruction upon instruction have been given us so that we as a people may know and understand the ways of the Yeshua, obey his voice, keep his charge, commandments, statutes, and laws, thus becoming the children of Abraham and heirs according unto the promise. When this is realized in the hearts of men, then they will fulfill the charge given unto Peter. Peter said, Thou knowest I love thee. Yeshua saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Who is Israel by the promise? Shepherd. And Pharaoh said unto the brethren Joseph, What is your occupation? And they said unto Pharaoh, Thy servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers. Genesis 47:3. Israel were shepherds, which is a symbol of the missionaries such as feed the lambs of Yahweh. In the early part of the church, the byword was, every Seventh-day Adventist a missionary and every missionary a preacher. It ought to be so now, for the great struggle has not been between religion and no religion. It is between Yahweh's religion and man's religion. Review and Herald, January 23, 1930. Another Pharaoh arose. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. Exodus 1:8. If the first Pharaoh, who exalted Joseph, meaning a type of Yahshua, represented the leadership in the days of the apostles, then this new Pharaoh must represent the leadership of this present movement at the time this subject became known. Note, this new Pharaoh knew not Joseph or Yahshua. The meaning is that the leadership of this organization has left following their master, Yahshua, volume 5, page 217. Grievous and presumptuous sin have dwelt among us, and yet the general opinion is that the church is flourishing and that peace and spiritual prosperity are in all her borders. The church has turned back from following Yahshua, her leader, and is steadily retreating toward Egypt, yet few are alarmed or astonished at their want of the spiritual power, doubt, and even disbelief of the testimony of the Spirit of Yahweh is leavening our churches everywhere. Satan would have it thus. The testimonies are unread and unappreciated. Further explanation of the Pharaoh being touched is given on the last page of this section. Taskmasters. This is our next subtitle. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramesses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with the hard bondage, in the mortar, and in the brick, and in all manner of the service in the field. Exodus 1:8-13. For the children of Israel, said Pharaoh, are too strong and mightier than we. Let us deal wisely with and reduce their strength. So they, the Israelites, were drafted from the sheepfold to the brickyard and the field. But this did not reduce their strength. Said the Pharaoh, let us set taskmasters over them to wear them out. Note the application. Pharaoh is the king, the one who rules. The taskmasters in this case could be none other than a class of ministers referred to in the volume 5 of page 217 by Ellen G. White. Doubt and even disbelief of the testimonies of the Spirit of Yahweh is leavening our churches everywhere. Satan would have it that ministers who preach self instead of Yahshua would have it that the testimonies are unread and unappreciated. No longer is the byword of the Seventh-day Adventist, every Seventh-day Adventist a missionary, every missionary a preacher, as what it used to be. But how much per capita or have you made your budget? Instead of, have you brought any souls to Yahshua? Are your church members nearer to him? It is not meant here that Christians ought not to give for the support of the cause. We ought to give, and give more liberally than we have given in the past. But our gifts ought to come from a willing heart and not from the result of lashes. The people should be fed with the spiritual food so that they would feel the need of giving without overbearing on the subject. When the Moses was about to build the sanctuary in the wilderness, Yahweh commanded him, saying, "Speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering." Moses was commanded to take offerings only from those who willingly gave from their heart. We are told by the Spirit of the prophecy that ministers should not put all their efforts and time with the church. Members are not to expect a sermon every Sabbath. Ministers should rather engage themselves in working for outsiders. Read Volume 9, page 140. Have we taken heed to this instruction? For example, we have scores of the ministers in Los Angeles and the immediate vicinity, but how many public efforts have we? It was announced just a short time ago that there were only two. Thus it has been for some years. What are these ministers doing day after day and week after week? It seems they are doing nothing but preparing a sermon during the 6 days of the week to preach on the Sabbath, and then it is either something to sell or some particular budget to raise. How many sermons preached do we read of in the Bible urging people to give money or to buy something to support the cause? Not one. We have polluted the house of Yahweh with the merchandise. Even on the Sabbath morning, which hour is dedicated as a day of rest, to worship Yahweh, Volume 1, page 471, 472, a great mistake has been made by some who profess present truth by introducing merchandise in the course of a series of meetings, and by their traffic diverting minds from the object of the meeting. If the Yahshua were now upon the earth, he would drive out these peddlers and traffickers, whether they be ministers or people, with the scourge of the small cord, as when he entered the temple anciently. Ministers have stood in the dust and preached a most solemn discourse, and then by the introducing merchandise and acting the part of a salesman, even in the house of Yahweh, they have diverted the minds of their hearers from the impressions received and destroyed the fruit of the labor. Their time and strength should be held and reserved, that their efforts may be thorough in a series of the meeting. Their time and strength should not be drawn upon the sale or books when they can be properly brought before the public by those who have not the burden of the preaching of the word. It is written, "My house shall be called the house of prayer." You have made it a day of seed. These traffickers might have pleaded as an excuse that the articles they held for sale were for the sacrificial offering. but their object was to get gain, to obtain men, to accumulate, volume 1, page 472. Our conference is not ignorant of the instruction here given, and the evil which is practiced in the churches. At the Autumn Council held in Milwaukee, Wisconsin in 1923, the question of book sales on the Sabbath day was brought forth in connection with other matters, and the following resolution was passed and published, that all campaigns for the promotion of the periodicals or book sales on the Sabbath day be eliminated, and that those responsible for the promotion of this campaign be directed to the method of house-to-house solicitation by visiting committees in the connection with campaigns for the literature sale. That we invite our publishing houses to exercise caution circulating our people on behalf of the publishing house project, and to refrain from sending the church officers' matter to be presented on the Sabbath, with the previous arrangement with the local union and general conferences, Milwaukee Autumn Council, October 9, 1923. Okay. We read the testimonies of ministers, page 477. A strange thing has come into our churches. Men who are placed in the position of the responsibility that they may be wise helpers for their fellow workers have come to suppose that they were set as kings and rulers in the churches to say to one brother, do this, and to another, do that, and to another, be sure to labor in such and such a way. This Pharaoh has drafted the people from the sheepfold to the brickyards or the field. The taskmasters, being commanded to oversee the work, urged the bricks budgets and wear out the people. The existing sins in the church are passed over and no one cares. Those who do reprove wrong under their displeasure, in volume 3, page 266, speaking of the condition in the church at the time of the sitting, marking of the 144,000, and the slaughter of the church, we read, those who have experienced these wrongs have been thought by the people to be very amiable and lovely in disposition, simply because they shun to discharge a plain scriptural duty. The task was not agreeable to their feeling. Therefore, they avoided it. Okay. So our next subtitle is A Furnace Straw for No More. Well, we're going to bring this study to a close now.